this system of capitalism, imperialism, that is such a hell for people here and all over the world. To give just one example, this week, the state of Missouri executed a 55-year-old black man named Marcellus Williams, who for over 20 years has maintained his innocence for his conviction for murdering a white woman in 1998. Now, the prosecutors in this case have said that this was a wrongful conviction. The jurors have expressed second thoughts. The family of the victim has begged for this, for him not to be killed. And yet the state of Missouri and the U.S. government, all the way up to the Supreme Court, has refused to overturn this conviction or stop this execution. And they went ahead and basically legally lynched this 55-year-old black man.
Yes, this was a legal lynching. And it is completely outrageous and illegitimate. A system that would do this is illegitimate. And this is just one of the many crimes of this system. It calls to mind a profound truth that the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian expressed a number of years ago. Listen.
We have two choices. Either live with all this and condemn future generations to the same or worse, if they have a future at all, or make revolution.
And you are not going to get real revolution on any other show. Others might use the word revolution, but unless you're following Bob Avakian, you are not working for a real revolution, and certainly not a liberating one. In this country, there is no one besides Bob Avakian and the RevComs he leads who's even talking about making a real revolution. And more than that, Bob Avakian is the architect of a whole new framework of human emancipation. He has forged the new communism, and he is providing leadership now to advance in making this revolution real.
Yeah, and on today's show, we're going to hear part two from Bob Avakian on what is capitalism. And then we're going to hear a message, a powerful message from Bob Avakian to those catching the hardest hell under this system. And lastly, we're going to get into the campaign that's underway to get Bob Avakian's leadership known by millions, and in particular, his real-time guidance through his at Bob Avakian official social media messages.
But first, we are going to hear from Raphael speaking about the heightened danger and destruction being perpetrated against the people of Lebanon and Palestine by Israel, fully backed by the United States, a deadly escalation with profound dangers for the region and the world.
If you're supporting Kamala Harris, you might think you're supporting a rational politician against the dangerous madman Trump, as Bob Avakian discusses in his Dispatch 85. But let's look at how deranged, depraved, deadly, and dangerous Kamala Harris and the system she represents actually are. Case in point, their backing of the fascist, genocidal, apartheid state of Israel, which is right now carrying out truly monstrous and escalating war crimes, not only in Gaza, but in Lebanon and the West Bank. On September 17th, thousands of digital pagers across Lebanon suddenly began ringing as if a message was coming in. Seconds later, they exploded in markets, homes, cars, and hospitals. Many looking for a message lost their eyes. Their hands were mangled, stomachs ripped open. One doctor said he'd never seen wounds like this. 9-year-old Fatima Abdullah had just come home from school when her father's pager started beeping. She was taking it to him when it exploded, ripping her face apart, killing her and splattering blood across the room. This wasn't some pager malfunction. It was a deliberate terrorist attack by the state of Israel that murdered 32 people and wounded thousands. Israel had secretly set up an electronics company, booby-trapped its pagers, and then sold them to Lebanon's Hezbollah organization, an Islamic fundamentalist group backed by Iran. When Israel detonated these pagers, they weren't being used by combatants on the battlefield. They were being carried by people shopping, at work, or in their homes with their families and children.
Tonight, a second wave of explosions tearing through Lebanon.
The next day, walkie-talkies and cell phones suddenly started exploding too. At least 25 more people were killed and over 600 others wounded. Many Lebanese are now terrified that any electronic device could be a bomb. Did the rulers of the U.S. condemn this obvious act of terrorism? No. As all this was happening, Kamala Harris regurgitated her disgusting justification for Israel's crimes.
I support Israel's ability to defend itself.
Then Israel unleashed one of the most ferocious bombing campaigns in recent decades.
Israel pummeling Lebanon's Hezbollah militant group for a second day. A day after inflicting the highest death toll in Lebanon since the 2006 war.
On just one day this past Monday, Israel killed over 550 people. The Lebanese health minister said that the vast majority were unarmed people who were safely in their homes. As we film this, Israel is continuing to massively bomb Lebanon. These strikes have spread panic all over the country. 500,000 people have fled their homes, clogging the roads, trying to find somewhere safe to go. And now, the top commander of the Israeli military has openly said that they are preparing for a ground invasion of Lebanon. Meanwhile, in the Palestinian West Bank cities of Tulkarm and Jenin, Israeli bulldozers are demolishing mile after mile of roads, businesses, pharmacies, and schools, tearing up water and sewage lines. As Shawan Jabarin, the director of a human rights group based in the West Bank, said, they're imposing conditions, materially and psychologically, that make people feel Gaza is coming to you. There is a feeling among Palestinians across the West Bank that what is coming is very bad, that it will be a plan to kill and expel us. And what is the Biden administration, which yes, very much includes Kamala Harris, what are they doing as Israel spreads its genocide into the West Bank and commits unprecedented war crimes in Lebanon and threatens wider war in the Middle East? They're continuing to funnel billions of dollars of weapons to Israel.
The U.S. State Department also announced an additional $20 billion in arms sales to Israel for fighter jets, missiles, and tank ammunition.
Why? Because Israel is the U.S.'s indispensable attack dog in a strategically important part of the world, the Middle East. And right now, the U.S. imperialists are in a sharp battle to maintain their stranglehold on the Middle East, up against Iran and its allies in Yemen, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and behind them, Russia and China. All this makes the state of Israel even more crucial for the U.S. imperialists. Let's be clear. Groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, this so-called axis of resistance led by Iran, doesn't represent anything good. They're not anti-imperialists as they claim. They're reactionary, patriarchal, religious fundamentalists who are just fighting for a rearrangement within this imperialist system. If we were in Iran, we'd be fighting for revolution there, just like the heroic comrades of the Communist Party of Iran, MLM. But we're here, in the U.S., the country most responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity by far. And the question is, what are you going to do? Get behind the Democrats and give your stamp of approval to this system and its crimes? Or get organized for revolution and get with the leadership we have for that in Bob Avakian and the RevComs? So let me end with this challenge from Bob Avakian.
It has to be said that supporting Trump means being a truly vile human being. And as horrific as Trump is, supporting Harris and the Democratic Party means enlisting as willing accomplices in the crusade of U.S. capitalism imperialism to remain the world's number one exploiter, oppressor and plunderer of people and the environment, even at the cost of risking the future and the very existence of humanity. Neither Harris nor Trump nor any candidate for office, especially high office under this system, could even talk about emancipating all of humanity, ending every form of exploitation and oppression based on class, race, sex, and gender, and overcoming all divisions and conflicts based on nationality and country, because all that is built into this system. This is why we urgently need a revolution to overthrow and abolish this whole system and replace it with a fundamentally different and much better system, which does not rest on, does not require, and aims to fully do away with ruthless exploitation and monstrous mass murder and destruction.
The situation you were just describing in Lebanon, in Palestine, is so horrific, Raphael, and it's intensifying rapidly. It is really important that people in this society stand up and oppose what Israel is doing with the full backing of the United States government, Democrat and Republican. And at the same time, it's really crucial that people come to understand the system of capitalism, imperialism that is behind this atrocity and so much more, and the way out of this horror, which is a real revolution. The only way out, a revolution led by the new communism that Bob Avakian has forged, and a revolution that is more possible right now in this time.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why we've launched a major campaign to get Bob Avakian's voice, his social media account at Bob Avakian Official, seen, engaged, debated by millions and millions of people. We're raising big funds to place online ads, big funds to do all kinds of other creative promotion on the walls and in other ways. And in particular, this week, we are aiming to raise, as one part of this, $8,000 to get Bob Avakian's social media message, Why I Am Not Running for President, a very timely message out to a lot more people. We've raised about over $6,500 so far towards this, so keep donating. But just so far, with about $4,000 of that having been spent, we've gotten over 92,000 views on that dispatch. Many of these views are actually from college students watching it all the way through. So keep donating. It's very important to get this out there.
Yeah, and go out and ask others for money. We're going to show a video of people doing fundraising for this campaign in a few minutes. But this it did strike me that students are among those, the highest number of people who are watching this video all the way to the end, which thousands have done. So it's obviously striking a nerve. And you and I were out at some college campuses here in Southern California in the last few days, taking this dispatch out, number 81 from Bob Avakian, Why I Am Not Running for President. And when students would stop or express interest or curiosity, one of the first things we'd do is read this passage from the heart of that dispatch to them.
And here are some fundamental reasons why I would not run for president and would never want to be president. I don't want to be a vicious exploiter and murderous oppressor of masses of people. I don't want to be a massive destroyer of the environment. And I don't want to drag humanity to the brink of destruction through the danger of a nuclear war. All for the purpose of maintaining the USA as the world's dominant capitalist imperialist power and the number one plunderer of people as well as the environment. That is the actual job description of president of this country, head of this American empire of exploitation, degradation, oppression, and massive destruction.
Now, a lot of students are really into Kamala Harris right now. I mean, she's not Trump. She's not Joe Biden. She's bringing hope and joy and all these things. And so this opened up a lot of sharp struggle with these students, that if you're supporting Kamala Harris, you are actively enlisting to be an accomplice in the war crimes and the crimes against humanity that she and the Democratic Party are backing Israel to carry out in Gaza, Lebanon, and beyond right now. But even more than that, students had very difficult time imagining anything outside the choices that this system gives them. You know, one student, he admitted all these problems with Kamala, but then he kept saying, okay, so you're not for Trump and you're not for Harris, right? And we'd be like, right. And you're for Bob Avakian, but he's not running for president. We'd be like, right. But then what is he doing? So we'd get into the rest of what's in 81 in this dispatch from BA. He is actively working for a revolution, providing leadership for that. He's developed a framework for this revolution, a new society. And the kid is like, okay, I got it. And he's thinking, and then he says, but how would things really work? Would you just have Congress make all the choices? And he was still imagining this system just without a president. We were like, no, we're talking about a revolution, an overthrow of the system, a radically new, whole different system, government, way of life.
Yeah, people have such a hard time wrapping their minds around what a completely different system would be like. I mean, for starters, Bob Avakian has written a constitution for a whole new socialist republic in North America. You know, this is a radically different constitution than the U.S. Constitution. It's got a completely different economic system, you know, a socialist economic system based on producing things to meet people's needs and protect the environment and spread revolution throughout the world instead of, you know, producing things for to maximize profit and enforce U.S. domination all over the world. It's a whole different political system, a whole different legal system, security forces that actually serve and protect the people instead of, you know, murdering them and enforcing racism. You know, it's a whole different culture, a whole different education system, a whole different healthcare system, you know, a society full of vibrancy where people are discussing and debating ideas. Yes, there's freedom of speech in there because it really matters that we actually discuss and debate ideas so we can get to the truth and we can all learn through that whole process. This is all built into this constitution. And, you know, when students started to get a sense of what, you know, what kind of society that Bob Avakian was actually talking about, you know, they were asking us, well, if you're not for this system, then what is Bob Avakian for? Well, it's all right here in this constitution. And people were flipping through it. There was a lot of interest in this constitution. And, you know, a lot of students went away with this newspaper. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system, which has 6 key points from this constitution.
Yeah, when you take Bob Avakian out and these social media dispatches, you are breaking people free of the mental imprisonment they have of just working within this system and its choices. And you're opening all of this up to them. And there's so much more in these dispatches, which brings us to 6 reasons you should donate to this campaign. 6 reasons to donate to the campaign to get at Bob Avakian official, seen by millions of people now. Reason 1. If millions were listening to and debating Bob Avakian's social media dispatches at Bob Avakian Official, millions would be debating the question of reform versus revolution. It is simply a fact that there is no other leader in this country besides Bob Avakian who is even talking about making a real revolution. So donate today. Reason 2. If millions were listening to how Bob Avakian approaches world events and culture and sports and politics at Bob Avakian Official, they'd be getting trained in a scientific, reality-based approach to understanding society and the world, instead of being kept ignorant by conspiracy theories, religion, woke identity politics, and all sorts of anti-scientific modes of thinking. This would be huge. Donate to make this happen now. Reason 3. If millions were listening to at Bob Avakian Official, they'd be lifting their sights to all the way emancipation, to a world where all the chains are broken, where we are working together to put an end to all forms of exploitation and oppression based on race, sex, gender, and class, not just here, but all over the world. People can't fight for what they can't even imagine, so give generously. Reason 4. If millions were listening to Bob Avakian's social media messages at Bob Avakian Official, it would change what millions think is worth living and dying for. Instead of going for self or just my family or my people. Millions would be inspired by the way that Bob Avakian has given his all of his talents, his science, his heart and commitment for over 60 years to the fight to emancipate all of humanity. He's done this with courage, with integrity, with honesty and principle. He has never settled in, but he has also never lost his sense of humor or his sense of beauty. And Bob Avakian not only models this all as a person, he has built all of this into the revolution he is fighting for. And all of this comes through at Bob Avakian Official. Give now so millions can hear this. Reason 5. If millions were listening to and debating the messages at Bob Avakian Official, millions would be challenged to get up off all kinds of ugly and backwards thinking they are currently caught up in. Things like the way too many Black people who should know better are hating on immigrants, or the way that way too many decent people are falling for Kamala Harris, a mass murderer and mass incarcerator, or all the so-called anti-capitalists who don't even know what capitalism is. Bob Avakian cuts through all of this and more so that people can unburden themselves of all of these things that come from the system and instead rise up and play their full part in getting humanity free. If you want to see that, give today. Reason 6. If at Bob Avakian Official were getting engaged by millions and millions of people right now, this would qualitatively ripen the chance to make a real revolution right in this time when revolution is actually more possible. And they'd hear why this is such a time from the person who has developed the analysis himself, Bob Avakian. Today, most people we reach with this campaign are not yet ready for revolution. That's okay. Even if they listen reluctantly, this revolution and this extraordinary, unparalleled revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, will start circulating in their minds. At the same time, many thousands will be eager for Bob Avakian's message of revolution now, and they'll take it up. Then, as the fight among the rulers intensifies and comes to a head, millions will know where to turn when reality comes crashing in on the lies and illusions they can no longer cling to. And the thousands who have been taking up Bob Avakian's leadership can be in position to lead those millions to rise up and bring this current system down and bring something much better into being. Want to understand this yourself? Go to at Bob Avakian Official, especially 8 through 11. There is literally nothing else. No other leader, no other campaign, no other action that could be taken that would have this kind of transformative and positive impact on all of society at this time when the stakes could not be higher. We need to place ads online to get at Bob Avakian Official in front of millions. We need to print posters and banners and stickers and flyers. We need a grassroots movement spreading this everywhere. This takes work. This takes time. This takes funds. This takes you. You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Bloody road remains a mystery.
Now we want to share a short video we received from two people who are raising funds for this campaign in Ohio. Let's watch.
Hi, I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Belinda. And we are the RevCons. And we would like to talk to you all today about how we get a bake sale organized.
Because we've raised quite a lot of money for campaigns for the RevCons over the last couple of years.
What we do is get a bunch of people together and decide what we are going to bake, whether it's cookies, cakes, pies, and etc. And I want to show you what we put the baked goods in.
And we basically carry them in a tray, in a box that has been cut down or is thin, so people can see them and see what the choices are. Carry buckets or little buckets.
And then we have QR. QR card. It has PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App.
What we, just to go through a little bit more, what we do when we go in, we go into various businesses, small businesses, and speak to the manager or the owner as soon as we go in, introduce ourselves, look them in the eye, and let them know that we're doing a fundraiser and ask for their permission to talk to people in the store. Most of the time, they agree. We let them know the fundraiser is for Revolution. At this point, to spread these dispatches, which is the most important thing that we can be doing. Why? Because nobody except Bob Avakian is actually even talking about Real Revolution, let alone having an actual strategy, which he has, to be able to win such a revolution in these times, and a constitution for the new socialist republic once we win.
And another reason for us distributing these flyers, why I am not running for president, is because we need a real revolution. You can't make a revolution with just a few people. It's going to take tens, thousands, and millions of people. And not only beauty shops and barber shops, we have had great success at festivals, ball games, and etc.
I don't know about the ball games. You think we should? So, okay. It's something that literally anybody can do who just takes the time to bake some stuff and put it together. And the funds are urgently needed.
For revolution. Nothing less.
Thanks.
Thank you.
In his book Basics, From the Talks and Writings of Bob Avakian, in an essay called The Revolutionary Potential of the Masses of People and the Responsibility of the Vanguard, Bob Avakian makes this point. He says, I hate the way the masses of people suffer, but I don't feel sorry for them. They have the potential to remake the world, and we have to struggle like hell with them to get them to see that and to get them to rise to that. We shouldn't aim for anything less. Why should we think they are capable of anything less? So with this quote in mind, we want to share two clips from a major talk that Bob Avakian gave back in 2003 called Revolution, Why It's Necessary, Why It's Possible, and What It's All About.
Yeah, and the first clip we're going to show is part two of Bob Avakian's breakdown of what is capitalism. Last week, we showed part one. If you didn't catch it, go back on our channel, watch part one. This week, he's focusing on what are commodities and what does that have to do with the basic dynamics of this system and how it functions here and all over the world. Dynamics which are hidden from people, but which anyone can and needs to actually understand in order to understand how the system works and how it can be changed. Then we're going to play a challenge from Bob Avakian to those who catch the hardest hell.
Capital is a relationship in which one person or a group or class of people owns and controls the means to live and the means to create wealth and thereby forces others to work for them in exchange for a wage. Capital is the control over this labor of others, and it is this, making others work for you, that creates the wealth that the capitalists get. Capitalism is a system in which everything that is produced and exchanged among people is a commodity. And this includes people's labor power, that is, their ability to work. That, too, is a commodity. It is bought and sold under the system, the capitalist system. And when your labor power is bought and you are put to work, the capitalist who buys your labor power controls you and what you do while you were working for him. They'll even have his slave drivers in a modern form tell you how long you can go to the bathroom or whether you can go to the bathroom. And really, the capitalist class as a whole controls your very life, has the power of life and death over you, because they determine whether or not you can even have a job. And they control you if they give you a job, quote unquote. Capitalism then is a form of modern day slavery. It is wage slavery. That's why I know, at least when I was coming up, people used to regularly refer to a job as a slave. Yeah, I got me a slave, I gotta go off and work. But you weren't literally owned. You just produced the wealth and then you could be fired. But let's back up a second and dig down further into the foundation of this. What is a commodity? You hear that word a lot. What is a commodity? Well, let's take an ugly example to start out with. If a woman makes love with a man because she feels like it and because they care about each other, that can be a beautiful thing. That can be an act, an expression of love, an intimacy between two people who care about each other. But let's take a situation that happens all too often. You're in a housing project or somewhere and you've got to get to work. Or your kids are sick and you've got to get them to the hospital and you go running out to get to your car to drive your kids to the hospital to get to work and your car doesn't work. And you know some guy down the street who knows how to work on cars and you go to him and you say, would you please help me get my car going? And he's not thinking the way he should be and he says, all right, I'll help you, but you've got to give me a little something something. Now you know this happens. And this is turning what should be a beautiful thing, an act of innocent intimacy between people, into an ugly thing, into a form of a commodity, into which two things are being exchanged for each other. He's helping you with your car, but you got to give him some sex that you may not at all want to give him. Let's take a more commonplace example of commodities. Let's say you grow tomatoes in your backyard. And you eat them yourself, you put them in salad, you give them to your kids, you invite your friends over, and you all eat them. Well, that's not a commodity. Why not? Because the person who's making them, you, is just using them directly. You're not exchanging them with anybody for anything else. If you invite your friends over, if you're a good friend, you don't say, give me some money for these tomatoes, you just give them some tomatoes. So a commodity then is not something that's produced to be used directly by the people who produce it. It's something that's produced to be exchanged either directly or through money, is the more common way these days, for another something, another commodity. And one of the things about this is, because it's not made to be directly used but to be exchanged, is you get the separation of usability of this thing from its sellability. And sellability rules over usability. Now, what am I talking about? Let's say you're really good at making chocolate chip cookies. You make chocolate chip cookies, everybody loves them. Your kids love them, all your friends love them. You make them and eat them all the time, maybe more than you should. But then one day, one of your friends trying to do you a favor says, man, these chocolate chip cookies are really good. You ought to sell these. You could make a lot of money. You could be famous like Famous Amos. So you go along with it, you say, well, yeah, let me try it. So you make some chocolate chip cookies and you put up a stand, and sure enough, people come over and buy from them, and they love your chocolate chip cookies. But then you're out. So what are you gonna do? If you're gonna keep going with this, you gotta go back and buy some more flour, and you gotta go back and buy some more butter, and some more eggs, and some more walnuts, and some more chocolate chips, some more sugar. And then you start making more chocolate chip cookies, but then you run into something. When you're trying to sell these, you run into all these big companies. They already got a Famous Amos out there, and they got other people making these on a massive scale in factories and everything. So you can't make enough to compete with that and to sell them cheaply enough. So then you start saying, well, maybe I better hire somebody to help me make these cookies. Or you get an idea, maybe I'll get my kids to help me. So you get your kids, you start making them, but you're still up against these big companies out there making these cookies. And after a little while, your kids say, we're tired of this, you know, can we have something to eat? and you say, kids, kids, sellability, sellability, not usability, sellability. And they look at you and they say, huh? And you say, you're eating up the product, you're eating up the product. Well, see, this is what it means to get caught up in commodity production and exchange, and you can see what it starts leading to. You either get bigger or you get eaten up. You better go back to just enjoying your own chocolate chip cookies. Producing and exchanging things as commodities leads to anarchy in production and exchange. By anarchy here, I mean a lot of uncertainty, disorder, and chaos, where it is very difficult to know in advance or to predict or to calculate accurately what is going to happen. For example, how much of your product you're going to be able to sell in competition with other people out there. Now, the only way to get your money back is by selling your commodities in this uncertain situation, a situation where many different people are bringing commodities into the market, a situation that is always changing and always open to big changes, a situation in which even big-time operators can get taken down and swallowed up by even bigger and more powerful and more ruthless ones. Again, capitalism makes commodity production and exchange the general way in which things are produced and exchanged in society. It spreads the production and exchange of things as commodities throughout society and throughout the world. And as I said, very importantly, it turns labor power, that is the ability to work itself, also into a commodity. And this is very important because once the capitalist money, the owners of these big companies and so on, once their money is invested as capital for production, that is, once they've bought machinery, raw materials, let's say cotton to be turned into cotton clothes, and so on, and once they've bought people's labor to work and pay them a wage for that, once they've done all that, once they've invested in that way, they have lost that money. It's gone. It's now disappeared into and become embodied in the machinery, the raw materials, and the wages. So they're in a desperate situation themselves. The only way the capitalists can get back that money, plus end up with more capital in the form of more money or profit, the only way he can do that is to exploit the people working for him, force them to produce more wealth than all the money the capitalists invested in the first place. And then the capitalists must sell these products in order to realize his profit. And once again, because of the anarchy of capitalist commodity production and exchange, every capitalist is in this situation, no matter how big they are. They're competing with all the other capitalists doing the same thing all over the country and even all over the world, facing the same compulsion, the same supreme commandment, expand or die, beat out your competitors, accumulate, that is, gather and increase more wealth than you started out with, or go under. Now, monopoly, I'm going to have something to say about monopoly in a minute. This is a situation where one or a few gigantic companies or corporations controls whole industries and whole parts of the economy in large parts of the world. But this monopoly, when it develops, does not change this whole situation. It does not eliminate this drive and this competition. What it does is raise it to a whole other level and spreads it even more fully and forcefully throughout society and throughout the world. And I'm going to come back to this point in a little while. So you can get a sense that this is a vicious cycle that everybody is trapped in so long as we live in a society and a world dominated by capitalism. Even the capitalists themselves are bound by these laws of commodity production and capitalist accumulation. But where they succeed, they gain and benefit from this, while the people they exploit and society as a whole suffers in a thousand ways from it. For example, under capitalism, many things that millions of people need, such as decent housing, do not get produced, or do not get produced at prices that can be afforded by those who really need them, all for one reason. What counts to the capitalist is not human need, but what they call demand, measured in money terms. That is, how much money can be gained from producing and selling something. Every capitalist enterprise is in the business of making profit, and they will shift from making one kind of product to another, from making in one part of the country or one part of the world to another, in the restless, endless search for the most profit. They are not in the business of making this or that thing that is useful. They are not in the business of doing that. They are in the business of exploiting those they employ and beating out other capitalists in this process. And to them, the people they hire and fire, the people they never hire in the first place, the people who buy their products, and the people who are too poor to buy them. To the capitalists, everyone counts and can only count as a business calculation, if they count you at all. Now, sometimes you see these fools get up, you know, like these ranchers and all this kind of shit. And, you know, imagine W down there on his ranch, you know, and they say things like, I'm a self-made man. Nobody gave me anything. I did it all myself. I'm a self-made man. Yeah, you're a self-made man. All the clothes you're wearing, everything you're using is made by other people. The food you eat was picked by other people. The machinery you're driving around, the rifle you own was made by other people. Everything you have and use made by other people. And right now you're exploiting Mexican immigrants on your ranch. And you're sitting on land that was stolen from the native peoples in the first place, but you're a self-made man. That's not what happens under capitalism. So for capitalism and every system based on exploitation and oppression, the only kinds of ideas it can produce and the kinds of ideas it promotes as the ruling ideas are, not surprisingly, ideas that justify all this exploitation and oppression, that teach people that this is the natural order of things, and that encourage people to try to become big dogs in this dog-eat-dog world. If this kind of world, this kind of system, if this were all that is possible, that'd be one thing. And you see people, even those who are brutally oppressed under this system, as long as they believe this is the only kind of world that's possible, you see them going along with this all the time. I gotta get mine. I gotta get what I can get within this. It's time to get yours. This reminds me of the story of the prisons in California, and in particular what was called the Corcoran Shoe, where the guards there would take prisoners and they'd tell them stories about each other, get them angry at each other, and they'd literally put them in pens, like in the old Roman Colosseum, and they'd let them out of the pens and they'd come in and start fighting with each other, sometimes to the death. And the guards would be standing above watching all this, laughing and betting on the outcome. And if it got out of hand, they'd shoot one or more of the prisoners. This was a whole scandal that finally broke into the open in the California prisons. Well, if you just look from inside that, here you are and the door opens and you run out in this arena and you start throwing hands and everything else you can with the other person who's there, you might say, I'm a bad motherfucker. I'm handling this situation. But if you back the camera up a little bit, look at the larger picture. What's happening? You're being handled. You're being put in this horrible situation by these people standing above you, laughing, betting, and ready to kill you if they see it in their interest. And that's a miniature picture, a microcosm, as they say, of what the world is like today and the way that people get caught up in going along with this. You hear these people say, you know, I'm on this corner selling my product. I'm regulating the corner. You ain't regulating. You're just being regulated. You're just being put there and allowed to be there as long as what you're doing serves the people who really regulate things, who really run this system, for as long as it serves them or doesn't get in their way. You hear people say, sometimes they get caught up in all this stuff about the hood. This is our hood. Can't nobody come in here and take over our hood. This is not your hood. You don't own this. You don't run it. You don't control it. The people who own it and run it and control it are just using you. They're just letting you be played like this and carry on with all this foolishness and dangerous stuff, killing each other off because it serves their interests. While they're keeping you in these miserable conditions, not really different than the prisoners in the Corcoran Shoe. It makes me think of a situation where you walk into a scene where there's a man got a gun in one hand and a big club in the other, and he's got everybody lined up. And he goes down the line breaking everybody's legs. And somebody jumps up and says, all right, then, I'm going to be the baddest broke leg motherfucker there is. Something's wrong here. What we need to be doing is say, hey, that man's breaking everybody's legs. Let's get together and stop that motherfucker from breaking everybody's legs. Now, I understand how people try to make the best of their circumstances. They say, you didn't give me nothing else, you didn't leave me nothing else, so I'm going to take this, and at least this way I can get some respect before I go out. So we can understand this. But again, let's step back and look at the larger picture, the larger world. Because we, the masses of people, are capable of much greater things than this. We are capable of completely and radically changing our circumstances, changing all of society to get rid of circumstances like these. What happens in the world affects us, and we can affect the world. And when all is said and done, we can change the whole world together with people like us all over the world.
We want to send you out with Outer National, a revolutionary future rock band, and their release of Welcome to the Revolution, their album. Again, this week, we did it last week. I want to read from a review of their launch of their new album in New York City, because they really captured the spirit and the drive and the ethos of the band. And we'll put some pictures up as I do. This review said, Outer National galvanized the streets of New York City with a spontaneous high-energy performance atop a flatbed truck, marking an unforgettable prelude to their album release show at Le Poisson Rouge on September 19th. And here I'll jump in and add, they will be in Los Angeles this Saturday, September 28th, at the Boyle Heights, at the Paramount Theater in Boyle Heights. Back to the review, they said, this impromptu three-hour set was not just a promotional stunt. It was a bold, visceral statement aligned with the band's revolutionary ethos. The crowd swelled with each passing moment, drawn in by the pulsating beats and rebellious lyrics that define Outer National's music. Led by the charismatic frontman and producer Miles Soleil, the band's presence felt like a call to arms, a reminder that music can still provoke change. With the legendary Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith joining on drums, this album, Welcome to the Revolution, is a testament to Outer National's powerful collaborations and enduring mission. Outer National's future rock blends rock, punk, and world influences to create a sound as defiant as it is inclusive. The band was co-founded by Soleil and Jesse Williams. It has its roots in both New York City and Bogota. Their music speaks to dreamers, fighters, lovers, and thinkers, those who still believe that art can be a force for transformation. With the likes of Tom Morello, Residente, and Bob Avakian having worked with the band, their music is both globally conscious and unapologetically political. So this was
a good review.
It's a great review. Captures the spirit of the band, and it is a show in Los Angeles that everybody who can make it should be at. Boyle Heights Paramount Theater, September 28th, and wherever you are, we recommend the album Welcome to the Revolution, and we're going to send you out with a little bit of their music again.
Yeah, and first I want to remind everyone to hit the like button, comment below with your thoughts, and definitely become a Patreon of this show. And with that, let's go out with Outer National. Nah, nah.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out The RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away. Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Do it alone. Do it alone. Need some help, yeah. Need some help, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. We got. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more.
Sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking.